Now, to take you from the streets to the suites, live from the 17th floor of Madison Square Garden, this is the Curtis Lewa Show.
1, 2, 3, kick it.
Six minutes after the hour, this the Curtis Lewa Show, and we score the trifecta. We go to the Trinity of Sound, starting from high atop Madison Square Garden, 17 floors above the hardwood, where it has been the coldest summer on record, and the rainfall just keeps mounting up. Boy, global warming it is not here in the big NYC. But that hasn't stopped the tow trucks from combing the streets of New York City. It's Tow Jack City. There are more cars being put on the hook than ever before and taken to the pound. And they're being taken out to the outer boroughs, to Red Hook, Brooklyn, to College Point, Queens. This is a place where you don't want your car left. Because if you do happen to scrape up enough money to bail out your car, sometimes hundreds of dollars, you'll find that all of a sudden, you're going to have to bring your car to a fender bender shop. More dents, more bangs in places you couldn't even imagine that there'd be bangs and dents into. And some of your most valuable items missing from inside the car, inside the trunk. And remember, this is in possession of, quote, the NYPD, pound unit. It's called revenue raising. And every city is doing it throughout America. In fact, they're factoring it into their budgets. They're saying, we are on a decrease, so we're going to increase the number of tows for the flimsiest of reasons in Tow Jack City, USA. We are going to give orders from headquarters to all our coppers busting their shoes on the beat. We are going to tell them that there is a quota, or else they will be denied vacation time. They will be denied promotion. In fact, we want more tickets written than we do want arrests. And the minimum amount would be a moving violation a day. A parking ticket keeps the sergeant away. And if by the end of the month they haven't come close to their quota, you take that cop with their ticket book in hand and you make them write tickets until their fingers get numb. And that's what it's like in New York City, and not just in New York City, all throughout the United States to try to make up on that budget deficit. Meantime, we give you a story out in KABC 790, where we roll solo and strong in the Southland in Los Angeles, about $1.4 billion worth of marijuana being taken by the sheriff's department in Central California. I failed to tell you on Friday that it was all being grown in the U.S. forests, and not by growers, you know, refugees from the days of peace, love, and happiness, Haight-Ashbury and Woodstock, of which it'll be the 40th anniversary in August. But rather, the Mexican cartels, which are going into our California Sierra National Forest and basically planting everywhere they can. The sheriff's department did eradication. They took 318,000 marijuana plants. 318,000 marijuana plants. And there were all kinds of tripwire booby traps. There were illegal aliens who had the shotguns in hand, but actually when they saw the ghetto bird come over and said, hey, isn't that supposed to be flying over Los Angeles, South Central, East Los Angeles? That's right, Ice Cube's ghetto bird was suddenly making runs over the Sierra National Forest, and they were on the hunt for marijuana plants. Down came the sheriff's deputies with the machetes doing crop eradication. They piled up all the plants, and after taking photos, they put gasoline and a match to it and then inhaled. Boy, talk about a contact high. That was like being super shotgunned, sheriff style. And now, though, to the big, 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 big stories of the day. And where do they center from naturally WMAL and our nation's capital, where we roll solo and strong, 6:30 on the dial, inside and outside of the Beltway. Republican Congressman Peter King of Long Island, saying that health care is not, get this, is not a top priority for most Americans.
This is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
Peter King, you're normally my very dear compadre Cheech. Well, you must be in a drug-induced psychosis not to think that health care is first and foremost. Of course, you're a congressman. Everything gets paid for you by the taxpayers. You get a sweetheart health care package until the day you die. You could serve one term in office 2 years, and you're covered in perpetuity. Of course, you don't worry about health care. Let me hear that. Let me hear that ridiculous statement by Congressman Peter King again.
This is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
Peter King, you must not be listening to talk radio. It gets like 50% of the conversation.
This is not a major issue.
We diverted for like 1 week because of the Brew Crew Forum.
This is not a major issue.
Yeah, what's not a major issue?
This is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
You couldn't be more hopelessly wrong. Let me take you to Pennsylvania. As a riot broke out at a town hall meeting about health care. Listen to what happened as a person in the audience asked Senator Arlen Specter. By the way, on this day, was he a Democrat or Republican? I don't know. He's confused, too. And Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. As what do you think they asked him about, Peter King? Health care.
When congressmen scoff at the notion of reading legislation because they aren't qualified or they aren't competent to understand it, how can we be confident that those congressmen are competent to re-engineer the entire health care system?
Man, a lot of people there.
I am not a member of Congress, have never been one.
Give it to him. Give it to him.
That's just a fact. I'm just telling you. My observation is I have never seen members of Congress work harder on it. It is unacceptable to me for somebody to hours and hours and hours and hours have been spent. If people say they haven't read the legislation, then tell them to go back and read it.
We do.
My practice, when you have a bill, and we have a lot of them, but there are 1,000 pages, is to take my tax staff, and we divide up the bill. We have to make judgments very fast. We give about...
This is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
What?
This is not a major issue.
What drug is Congressman Peter King on? And you know something? If he is on a drug, and he should be after a statement like that, you can bet it's covered by the taxpayers' health care plan, which gives congressmen, congresswomen, and senators coverage from the cradle to the grave. They can serve one term in office, 2 years, and they're covered in perpetuity. Of course it's not important to Congressman Peter King. Only 14% of the people in the United States thinks it's important. Is he out of his mind? And you see, this is why Republicans are going to get accused of being disconnected. Right here, where I'm talking to you from, in Manhattan, and I acknowledge it's high-priced real estate, more so than in most other parts of America, many of the places I'm talking to. But in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., high-priced real estate. You know in Los Angeles how many people have moved the urban sprawl almost in that parkway that goes towards Las Vegas into Riverside, San Bernardino County, and in Washington, D.C., in the surrounding suburbs. Because real estate is so high, rentals are so high, condo charges are so high, payments for your mortgage every month are so high. Do you realize that for many people in America, Congressman Peter King, that they pay more each month in their health care payments, the nut that they have to pay for that, than they pay for their rent or on their mortgage payments?
This is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
I read already. Well, we'll find out from our many listeners. 1-877 Curtis and number 8. That's 1-877-287-8478. To Frank Morano, our Mama Luke producer, Big Mama's boy.
This is not a major issue.
Of course, it's not a major issue to you. Mama takes care of you, makes
you
the chicken soup.
This is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
How could a guy be any more disconnected? Goldbrick here, a slacker, another mama's boy. Al Cattullo, he's got a family. I'll bet you health care is a major issue in your family.
My son just got an operation today and his adenoids being removed. Believe me, the major operation.
Oh, absolutely. I know.
This is not a major issue.
Right. Sure,
thank God my wife has health insurance.
Anyway, our number is 1-877 Curtis, the number 8. That's 1-877-287-8478. That's right. My son, little Anthony Chester, had his adenoids taken out at the age of 2. 2! Whew, Peter King. Man, he is like a wackadoodle here. Meantime, cash for clunkers. Can our federal government get it right? Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina said cash for clunkers was a big mistake.
The role of the federal government is not to run the used car business. And it's clear. You can look at Amtrak or the post office and now cash for clunkers. The federal government went bankrupt in 1 week in the used car business, and now they want to run our health care system.
Oh, you couldn't say it any better than that. And apparently the $2 billion now that has been allocated or put aside by the
House. This is not a major issue.
Cash for clunkers certainly is. People want to be able to take their clunkers in and basically get a rebate from the federal government at taxpayers' expense. They were going to up the ante to $2 billion, but the Senate, they've already gone on vacation. Senators who have transportation provided to them can buy a car at taxpayers' expense.
This is not a major issue.
Have health care provided for them from the cradle to the grave for them, their spouse, and naturally all their children in perpetuity at taxpayers' expense. Yeah, it wouldn't be of serious consequence to you if you had that kind of coverage, Democrat or Republican, elected to the House or the Senate, or naturally if you're the President of the United States. When we come back, bad cops Geithner and Summers over the weekend say middle-class taxes are going to go up because the deficit is skyrocketing. Naturally, Barack Obama says that's just a lie. And the federal former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Alan Greenspan, must have been counting the pair of underwears that were selling because in his mind, when underwear sales go up, the recession is over. This guy used to run the Federal Reserve. This guy used to be considered God. He bases this on the sale of Fruit of the Loom and BVDs, briefs, and naturally, skivvies. Up next on the Curtis Lewa Show.
I can't pass a hitman. Get on down, I wanna get on the good foot.
23 minutes after the hour. This just in. Bill Clinton, former president of the United States, is on his way behind the rice cake curtain of North Korea to hook up with Kim Jong, mentally ill, in Pyongyang. Or however you pronounce the name of that capital. And apparently he's going to be staying at the five-star hotel, the only one in all of North Korea, with the concubines at his beck and call. But he's there to try to get the release of the two American-Asian journalists who were being kept in the North Korean gulags. Remember, it was Bill Clinton who claims in his memoirs he was ready to put the juice in Kim Jong mentally ill's caboose by sending F-14 fighters to take out their nuclear reactor. But then, on second thought, he sent Madeleine Albright, his Secretary of State at the time, and Roger Clinton, his piano-playing brother, who Kim Jong mentally ill thought was the best entertainer ever. And remember, Madeleine Albright, while sitting across from Kim Jong mentally ill, remarked, "We can do business with this crazy nut." Really? And now we're sending Bill Clinton. By the way, Alan Greenspan, one of those who ruined our economy because he green-lighted the subprime mortgages. That's right. He said it would be good for the economy that somebody would have a ninja ability, which is no income, no job, no prospects for a job, nothing, and be able to get a loan on a house. But he has always assessed the economy based on the sale of underwear. But let's go to Alan Greenspan yesterday, because apparently some people in talk TV still consider him a guru of what? I have no idea.
Not quite, but we're getting very close. There's been a very significant improvement in the financial system. And it's been the financial system where the problems have been.
And collapse isn't going to happen.
Collapse, I think, is now off the table. We were teetering for a while.
So he says that we're almost out of the recession. Now, he didn't explain it, but what he has always based his prognostications on in the past is the sale of BVDs and Fruit of the Looms. And see, it's a split verdict now, because apparently the sale of briefs is up 0.6%. The sale of boxer shorts is down 3.5%, which makes it a negative overall. But Alan Greenspan is saying, wow, the briefs are beginning to sell. a little more support for the three-piece set. Maybe that's what men need in this economy. Can you believe this guy was the head of the Federal Reserve? Anyway, the statement of the day goes to Congressman Peter King of Long Island, who says to all of you listening out there in Los Angeles, Washington, and New York,
this is not a major issue among the American people. I think the last poll showed 14% see health care reform as being a major issue.
Oofa. Anyway, let's go to Jim calling from WABC in New York. Welcome to the Curtis Lewis Show, Jim.
Hi, Curtis.
Yes.
Yes. I was listening to what you're saying about Peter King. I think the way I'm looking at it is Peter King is saying, you know, what President Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are trying to shove down our throat, the American people really are not concerned with that. They don't want to address that issue now.
No, wait.
We have more important things.
Now, wait a second. You really don't think so? Well, I want you to listen to a meeting that was conducted by Arlen Specter and the Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius about health care.
When congressmen scoff at the notion of reading legislation because they aren't qualified or they aren't competent to understand it, how can we be confident that those congressmen are competent to re-engineer the entire health care system?
I am not a member of Congress, have never been.
Now, Jim, sounds to me like that crowd was very interested in health care.
Oh, definitely. I wish I was there. I would have definitely been with them. What I mean?
But Jim, this is where the Republicans get a disconnect. So if you're going to have people like Peter King and others who are in Congress, who are in the Senate, who have the best health care policy imaginable, they have universal health care. We pay for everything for them. We pay for their kids. We pay for their spouse. They could serve only a 2-year term, and we're paying for them in perpetuity. Of course, it's not important to them. The taxpayers pay for everything for them. Dentist. If all of a sudden, right, they have aches and pains and they got to go for a chiropractor, we pay for that. If they decide, oh, we're into holistic homeopathic treatment and I want acupuncture, we pay for that. If all of a sudden they say, oh, I've been working too hard, they're forcing me to actually read the legislation, and my eyes are causing me to have migraine headaches because I read 20 pages out of a 1,000-page document before I voted on it. We pay for that. We pay for everything. They have universal health care. Of course they don't worry about health care. It's average everyday working people and everyone else who have to worry about it. Anyway, up next, a woman who says, I want to smoke myself in the grave, and you should have no right to stop me or smokers from ever doing that. This is America, land of the free, free to smoke yourself right into the ER.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you puff yourself to death.
Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate, you just hate to make
33 minutes after the hour. And if you've noticed, you've been watching TV of late, whether in the New York area and increasingly in major media centers around the country. You're getting PSAs and all kinds of advertisements, taxpayer paid for, trying to scare you off of cigarettes with pictures of scorched lungs and of the damage done over a long period of smoking. Starting in New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, fanatic against smoking, and orders from headquarters went to his commissioner of the Department of Health, Thomas Friedman. And this city has led in terms of the number of taxpayer-financed commercials. Sometimes there's as many commercials on in New York City against smoking as there are for Mayor Michael Bloomberg to be reelected mayor, and there are a hell of a lot of them. But the reason this is important is Thomas Friedman, who is the commissioner of the Department of Health in New York City, who pioneered with this, with the okay of Mayor Michael Bloomberg, is now the director of the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, and is going to have a lot of say about national health care policy and initiatives to stop smoking all over the country. On the line, though, to contest that is Audrey Silk, founder of New York Citizens Lobbying Against Smoker Harassment. Thanks for joining us, Audrey.
Thanks for having me, Curtis.
I'd offer you a Lucy, but I noticed up in the Bronx recently, I went into a bodega, they were selling a loose cigarette for $1, $1. That is an all-time high, Audrey. And let me tell you something. The state is not getting any of the tax on that.
No, and that's the problem. That's part of one of the many problems that this is going to cause. I mean, you're chasing people out of the stores. Where do you think they're going to go to get their cigarettes?
Well, now, let me ask you a question. What is it that you're upset at? the actual commercials that show the ravages of what potentially long-term smoking can do to your body, or the fact that we're paying for a lot of them as taxpayers?
Oh, it's actually a whole ball of wax here. We've reached a point of saturation, like you said. You can't turn on the TV without seeing one of these commercials. So we've been inundated and beaten over the head and taxed to death and chased out of private places, bars and pool halls. You can't smoke there. At what point do they give us relief already? We know, we've heard, we understand that I give the city, the government, every right to advise and offer help for those who seek it. But at some point, enough has to be enough. And this is, they're just increasing it to the point that, you know, it's more of a hate campaign than it is a public health campaign. So you have that philosophy behind why we fight it in the first place. But secondly, it's being paid by taxpayer money. They spent $4 million giving away nicotine patches and gums, which have a dismal success rate of 1.6%. That's a waste. $4.5 million in the 1 year on all these ads on TV and in print and on radio. And how much more for this? So.
All right, but Audrey, when you say a hate campaign, there are many citizens out there prior to the start of this public relations campaign of showing images of what might happen to somebody after long-term smoking, who really hate smokers, who would have done anything to drive them out of the workplace, drive them out of restaurants, bars, in fact, wanted basically a zero-tolerance policy towards smokers, period. You are aware there's just a lot of people who hate smokers.
Right, and they've been incited by our own government. Isn't that nice? They've been given the go-ahead to assault both verbally and physically. They think that, this is the segment of society now where it's okay to voice your hate and contempt. And that's another thing we have to put up with these kind of things. So in addition, so I don't forget my place here, private property rights are at stake. They pay the media who have to agree to run these ads. But they're going to force the stores to give up counter space so that they can make them carry their message. I mean, so this doesn't just affect smokers. It affects a wide array of issues that everybody should be concerned about.
All right. So, for instance, if you had your druthers, how should this be handled? Because, you see, from a taxpayer's point of view, every time you take a puff on that Chesterfield, no filtered cigarette, because I have a feeling you're not smoking sort of Salem Newport menthol cigarettes. But every time you take a puff, Audrey, you sort of heighten your chance to have to end up going into the hospital to have some radical measures that need to be performed on you to eradicate lung cancer or any other kind of cancers that may result from long-term smoking. A lot of citizens are upset because they're saying, wait a second, if you're purposely going to do that, you should pay higher insurance premiums. You should literally have to take responsibility for your own medical downfall.
All right. Well, we pay in a number of ways. New York City has its own high tax on cigarettes. The state has a tax. The federal government just raised it to $1.01 a pack. There's the master settlement agreement where the tobacco companies raise the price on cigarettes so that the consumer could cover that settlement. They're using our money, the state child health insurance program. They raise that tax, federally on the cigarettes, so that we can pay for children's health insurance. Now, if you want to say we're not paying our way, they're misappropriating those taxes for something else. There are just as many studies that say that smokers, if you want to accept the idea that we're going to die early, we subsidize non-smokers who live longer, collect pensions and Social Security. And recently there was a study that said the healthiest among us cost more than anybody because they receive more care at the end than anybody else. And obese comes in second. Now, the people who are overweight should be very worried. They're coming after them next.
Well, not only that, but if you're concerned about obesity, when you give up smoking, you generally gain a lot of weight right away, correct?
You know, it starts to make you wonder why we all of a sudden have this obesity epidemic, if you want to believe that, after smoking has allegedly decreased as much as it has.
All right, well, let's give our numbers out. 1-877 Curtis and number 8. That's 1-877-287-8478. So you know the noose is going to tighten even more. You're paying close to $11 a pack in New York, a little less than some other states. I mean, how much are you prepared to pay to continue to smoke, Audrey?
Well, Curtis, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And when decent people are made into outlaws, they will find alternative sources.
Are we talking black market here? Are we talking ethnic gangs who are bringing in untaxed cigarettes from North Carolina?
No, not that far. I'm not going to say there isn't a segment that doesn't buy that way.
All right, so you're heading to the Indian reservations.
I was rolling my own for the longest until the anti-smoking crowd got in the ear of Congress and said, hey, we can't allow that. And they raised the tax from $1.10 a pound to $24.78 a pound to bring it in line with conventional cigarettes.
So you mean to tell me, Archie, you used to take out that rolling paper, stuff it in, the tobacco, roll it. And you were a New York City police officer. Didn't anyone ever think that you were actually rolling a joint instead?
Things have come a long way, Curtis. Now I use an electric machine.
But that's not cool. It's cool to roll it yourself.
Well, you know, the challenge at that point would have been funny, wouldn't it, in the end?
But now...
You don't sleep, right? You sleep very little.
3.5 hours a night, and I believe there'll be plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead. Every morning when I wake up and I stretch and I don't touch wood, it is so good.
Well, you know, they're saying your risks are allegedly as high as a smoker's risks, so they're going to come and tuck you in, Curtis.
So are they going to force me to sleep? They're going to shoot me full of Thorazine and make me take Sominex?
They'll give you what they gave Michael Jackson, maybe.
Oh, no. No. No, I've had enough anesthesia in my lifetime for all the operations I've had. I'd rather not. But you make a good point, is that it is a risk, according to healthcare authorities, to stay up as much as I do and some other people do, who tend to be super productive. They sleep maybe 3.5, 4 hours a night. According to healthcare officials, you need at least 7, 8 hours to maintain a balanced health module for your body, in addition to not smoking, not drinking, and not doing other things that may take its toll on your body.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, what are we hearing from the federal government about this health care plan? Prevention. They will come after you in any way possible to keep you from living the way you want to live after they've advised you, and you say thank you, but no thank you. They're going to force it on you anyway.
So you mean I'm going to have to sleep like Michael Jackson did in one of those oxygen sort of incubator devices in which they'll be pumping in anesthesia and hopefully it won't be to an extreme so I don't drop dead like he did?
Could be. That or they'll tuck you in next to little Anthony Chester.
Oh, you're right. Well, I'm not going to be. I never crawled into his crib and I'm not going to crawl in next to him now. Anyway. Do appreciate it. Audrey Silk, founder of New York City Citizens Lobbying Against Smoker Harassment. It is a campaign that is being waged all across America, but I can't tell you how many citizens despise, loathe, hate smokers, and if given the opportunity, would drive them into the sea. Let's go to Steve calling from WABC in New York. Welcome to the Curtis Lewa Show, Steve.
How you doing, Curtis?
I'm doing fair. I'm beginning to realize the federal government may come and try to hog-tie me, shoot me full of drugs to put me to sleep so I get my basic 7 to 8 hours a night. I'm a little worried about that.
Curtis, let me tell you something. I like to skydive, which is dangerous, and I like to do to ski, which can be dangerous and cause injuries. And where does it end taxing somebody for doing something that's possibly dangerous to themselves?
So skydiving, there's no question, is dangerous, although we just recently saw Bush 41 do that with a little assistance. I guess the way we take it out on you, although you can't because now with government going to pay lock, stock, and barrel for everyone's insurance, you're covered, baby. Under universal health care, you could do the craziest, wildest things, fall on your head, have multiple operations. Don't worry. We, the sucker taxpayers, are going to be paying for it, Steve.
Right, so why are smokers being penalized? I mean, just because they do something that's considered possibly dangerous, that could cause them to have higher
I'll tell you what's dangerous. Letting these gavones get behind the wheel and text. That's right, like Frank Morano. That's why they won't let him drive anymore. Guy's texting while he's driving. It is the most dangerous form now of driving. even more so than drinking. Have you seen lately people who are texting? Otherwise, fender benders galore. The only ones who appreciate the business are the fender bender shops, the auto repair shops. But there are an outrageous number of accidents occurring simply because people like Frank Morano can't wait until they actually get to their location and then send back their emails or text back their messages.
Curtis, getting into an accident with me is the only surefire way to make money in this economy. Because I'm always at fault, and I inevitably end up paying for your damages.
That's right. No, but then there's steerers, there's lawyers, there's chiropractors, there's Medicaid mills, yeah, that's right. With you, there's an entire business empire that follows. Anyway, up next, sneaker bomber boy Richard Reed, upset that he tried to kill so many people on an airline flight from Paris to Miami and got caught before he set off his sneakers. Now wants to be able to pray with other Muslim extremists together forever in Florence, Colorado, the maximum security prison. And I say oofah to that up next on the Curtis Lewis Show. Ten minutes to the top of the hour. You may have remembered him, one of many terrorists who had declared jihad war on infidels here in America, Jews and Gentiles, it didn't matter. Richard Reed, sneaker bomber boy. Remember, he had the Nike sneaker that had been specially constructed with a wick on the outside. And his job in committing jihad was to board an airliner in Paris at Charles de Gaulle Airport, take it to Miami, and halfway over the Atlantic Ocean, while sitting in his seat, bend over and with a Bic lighter, light the wick and blow himself up right to Allah's side so he could have sex, unprotected sex, with any of 72 virgins. Problem is, I don't think anyone else on that flight bought that propaganda. And he was stopped. A stewardess and a former NBA basketball player tackled him. They took belts, they hogtied him, turned him over to the authorities in Miami. And then he went in federal trial, was found guilty, and he's in Florence, Colorado, the supermax prison where other Muslim extremists and terrorists are housed. On the line, though, to describe what he is trying to do in federal court is criminal defense attorney and talk show host at WABC, Jeffrey Lichtman. Thanks for joining us again, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, Curtis.
So what is his lawyer or lawyers that we're paying for, what are they trying to do in federal court?
Well, incredibly, he did this on his own in a handwritten complaint, a lawsuit that he drew in 2007. He was put in the Supermax facility, and inside that facility there were major restrictions put on him because he's obviously a danger to all Americans. He never apologized for what he did, and he claimed he was basically going to continue jihad. So he's not allowed to meet and congregate with other jihadists inside the prison for obvious reasons. These jihadists inside that very prison have gotten together and oftentimes sent out jihadist screeds to the Middle East to sort of support the jihad, support bin Laden, and also to try to kill more Americans. So these restrictions have been put in place since he's been in prison. And in 2007, Reed filed a lawsuit against the government claiming that his First Amendment right of free speech and the free exercise of religion were being violated because he's not allowed to hang out with his jihadists. And in 2008, the end of 2008, before Barack Obama came in, the government opposed the lawsuit, and they have a very easy burden to reach in order to keep these restrictions in place. All they have to show is that the restrictions are reasonable. And obviously, if you're an unrepentant, psychotic Muslim terrorist, it's not very hard to reach that level. So once President Obama came in with his trusty right-hand Eric Holder, the Attorney General, they decided in April, after there were 58 meals missed by the shoe bomber in protest, they decided to remove these restrictions. And it was quietly done just a few weeks back. And it's seemingly incredible that this guy will now conceivably be allowed to associate with other maniac jihadists inside this prison.
So he goes on a hunger strike. He tries to imitate Bobby Sands.
Yes.
You know, of the IRA, sure. Hunger strike, a long cash prison. And instead of us letting him drop dead of starvation and dehydration, we put the IV in, we keep him living, so that he can personally write out, probably on a napkin, this lawsuit that will be heard and will permit him to bow five times a day to Mecca and Medina with others who have tried to destroy us, like Ramzi Youssef, right?
You're 100% right. And the lawsuit is over now, Curtis. The government, our government, has thrown in the towel, despite the fact that it would have been a layup, a virtual legal layup, to get this lawsuit dismissed. They gave in. And my initial feeling was that perhaps the government was concerned that there'd be negative publicity from perhaps the death of the shoe bomber from this hunger strike. But then I thought about it, and it makes no sense. First of all, I don't think there'd be a single American that would cry a tear for this guy if he purposely tried to kill himself by not eating. I really believe that this was a gift to the left-wing support of Barack Obama and Eric Holder, who have complained about Guantanamo Bay, have complained about Abu Ghraib, have complained about the conditions of various terrorists' incarceration in America, and they decided they would throw this bouquet their way. There's really no other explanation for it.
Now, this is incredible because my enemy of all enemies are members of organized crime, mobsters who choke on their lobsters, and I see over the weekend that Fat Tony Anthony Robito, upon being released from federal jail, is not permitted to dine at the Parkside restaurant in Corona, Queens, or Don Pepe's in Ozone Park, or Bamante's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, or Rayo's in East Harlem, because he might consort with members of organized crime. That makes sense to me, but then you're going to let this guy with jihadists in jail pray five times a day? And then to give messages out to their followers all over the world, that's insane.
It's completely and totally and utterly insane. And I'm amazed that the mainstream press has not jumped on it enough. But, you know, the mainstream press is liberal, Curtis.
Well, I got to tell you a story. Remember Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the evil one, who used to wear the Santa Claus hat, and the blind Sheikh, mastermind of the World Trade Center attack in 93, they actually let him do prayers on the day of Juma by telephone to mosques back in Brooklyn, in which he was advocating jihad from in the Springfield Correctional Facility in Missouri, until they realized what he was doing. That's nuts! As we continue on this, the Curtis Lewis Show.